mental and emotional illnesses, brethren, is public enemy number one in the United States. 50% of all physically produced problems are emotionally induced. So emotions affect the mind. And emotions, as you know, can be good or bad. Some bad emotions include fear, anger, hatred, hostility, etc. And these hurt your well-being. They hurt you physically. Good emotions, on the other hand, include love, peace, joy, happiness, tranquility, calmness. These are good emotions, and they enhance your well-being, physically, mentally, spiritually. And so, what does the Bible say about these emotions? Does it differentiate between the good emotions and the bad emotions? And more importantly, which emotions produces peace of mind? And that's what I titled this message today, Finding and Maintaining Peace of Mind. And so I'm reminded here of an account about a young family that I read about perhaps 5-10 years ago in the Reader's Digest. We get the Reader's Digest. They've got some good stories in there. And this story is about a young mom, a young dad, and they had twin boys. And the mom was hardworking. She was a loving person. She showed kindness to everyone. She loved her family very, very much. And so the mom displayed good emotions, which kept her family going. Healthy emotions. The dad, on the other hand, was a high school dropout. It was hard for him to hold down a job. He blamed society in general for his circumstances, bad circumstances, showed anger, he showed resentment, he showed these bad emotions, anger, and then he eventually turned out to be an alcoholic. So, that's what we know about the mom and the dad and how they handled their situations. What about the twin boys? How did they react to the situation that they were in with the mom and with the dad, two separate beings? And we'll get to that later on in this message. But before going any further, I'd like for us to turn to the Bible. I'd like for us to go to Galatians, if you would. Let's all turn there, Galatians 5, and in verse 19. Does the Bible differentiate between good and bad emotions? Because these two can either make your life happy, or they could make it miserable. Galatians 5, verse 19. Does the Bible differentiate between these types of emotions? Now the works of the flesh, says the Bible, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, the worship of idols, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of anger, wrath, selfish ambition, only looking out for yourself, see? Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, says Paul to the Galatian church, just as I told you in the past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here the Bible calls these bad emotions something different. It calls it the works of the flesh. Now let's go to verse 22, if you would. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so the mom here in our account exhibited these fruits of the Spirit. So here we can see that the Bible definitely, without a question, differentiates between good and bad emotions. It just calls them by a different name, the works of the flesh, versus the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And so, brethren, if we want peace of mind, if we want to be in the kingdom of God that we just read about, we really need to show this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Not only with the members here in the church, but also outside, because that's what really gives you the peace of mind that we need to live in this world. Now, what about these twin boys? I mentioned them. How did they react to this situation? We know how the mom reacted. We know how the dad reacted. What about these two young twin boys that they had? Well, the psychologist, 20 years later, decided to interview these twin boys. They brought them into a room, and they talked to them and asked them some questions to see how each boy coped with their lives, with their problems, with their joys. And so the psychologist then interviewed the first young man, and they discovered that this young boy didn't like school very much. He didn't have very many friends. He was angry at the teachers and some students there, fellow students. He showed signs of jealousy, resentfulness, both to mom and to dad, and towards his brother too. And so the psychologist asked them this question: what in your life made you the way you are today? That's what they asked them. And this young twin said, well, what do you expect when your dad is an alcoholic? That was his reply to this question. So this twin saw the father here as a role model. So he patterned his life after the father. Dads and moms have a tremendous responsibility raising children. Then the psychologist brought in his twin brother, and they noticed that this young man was outgoing. He was resourceful, energetic, loved school. He was in the process of going to college to further his education. They noticed that this young man, the second one, was happier overall. He was more equipped to cope with the life that's out there. And so they asked him the same question, the second boy. And they said, "What in your life made you the way you are?" You know what he said? He said, "What do you expect when you have a mom like this?" Well, he patterned his life after the mom. Loving, happy, outgoing, energetic, going up to people and say, "How are you today?" As opposed to being the inner self there. And so we see here that these twins, they had the same family. They lived under the same roof, the same circumstances, the same parents. And we have two twins that came out differently as far as emotions and as far as mental, even physical, we could say, reactions here. One was negative, the other one was positive. So, brethren, how do you look at life? Do you look at it in as if you have the fruit of the Spirit within you? Or do you look at it as the works of the flesh? Hopefully all of us will be working towards this, having this fruit of the Spirit here that we talked about in Galatians. So I want to say here now, how can we find peace of mind and maintain peace of mind? Especially in this physically, spiritually, emotionally chaotic world out there. It's terrible, terrible out there. How can we find this peace of mind? I'd like to give you 7 points. The first four are physical, things that we can do physically to enhance our situation, to find this peace of mind. The last three of the seven are spiritual in nature. So let's take a look at these very quickly. Number one, the first four are physical. Number one, keep up with your general health. I know this is something very basic, but sometimes we forget. We get caught up in school, in work, in church. We need to take care of our general health. We need to eat a balanced meal as well. Nutrition. Perform exercises. Regina and I, every morning, go out at about 10 o'clock and we walk a mile and a half, sometimes two. So it's important. This exercise deal is important. Right after I retired, at age 60 from the government, I thought I'd be doing all these things. Well, I just jumped right in and doing and did all these things. You know what? I got my back hurt. My back wasn't ready to do what I was supposed to. So you take it slow, you know, with these things. Another thing that we need to remember here as far as our general health, get enough sleep every night. You know, there's hymn in our hymnal, page number 76. It's titled Unless the Lord Shall Build a House. And the very first verse in there, it says that God giving sleep to his beloved. You know, I found out here that there's some people that can't sleep. Their eyes are all red. And I forget what the condition of that thing is called. But their eyes are always open. They cannot go to sleep at all. But God gives sleep to his beloved. The second thing we can do is keep goals. And we all should have goals, whatever they may be in your specific situation. Keep goals realistic and achievable. I'm going to clean the house today. I'm going to mail this letter. I'm going to write to my son. Something achievable. If your goal is to become president of the United States, is that a realistic goal, being in the church and everything? Not really. I wouldn't want to be. I would not want to be president of anything. Third, manage your time effectively. In other words, prioritize your time. We only have a certain amount of time on this earth. And I've learned in working, we have to prioritize the projects that we do. We need to prioritize our goals, too. What do you want to accomplish every day? Regina and I read. We read the Bible every morning. After our 10 o'clock morning walk, we go back to the house. We open the Bible. We have somebody there on a disc read to us. And we sit there, 3 or 4 chapters. And we read the Bible together. We stop it. We ask each other questions. Well, I think this is what this means. Well, I think this is what that means. And so it's important that you do that. Read the Bible. And number 4, this is a lot of people miss this one, and that is include hobbies in your daily activities. Stuff you love to do. You like to do these things. I love to sing. I'm not very good at it anymore, but at one time I was not too bad. How about painting? Do you like painting? Something that to take your mind away from these problems that are out there and all this stuff going on. Gardening. I love to garden. I love to see the fruits come from the trees that we have there, and also in the garden, the tomato plants and peppers. Regina loves to crochet. She sits there and crochets for hours. Here I am watching a little bit of football. She sits there crocheting, you know, with her hand over there. And I don't know how she does it. It doesn't even seem like she looks at what she's doing, but yet there it is. And within an hour or two, here she has a hat. And she said, "See, how does this fit you?" But it's important, brethren, that we do this, that we find things that we love. I have a train set upstairs. It's a Lionel train set, and I go up there every once in a while, watch the thing go around, toot the horns, put some men on it, watch it go around. And then I press a little button, and there's an announcement that says, "Ready, everybody on board!" Just neat, you know, just enjoy life a little bit. That's what sometimes I think we miss this. Now this fifth point is a spiritual point. Let's go to that one. Isaiah 26, if you would, and then in verse 3. And the fifth one is keep your mind and your heart fixed on God Almighty. He's number one in your life. We need to keep our heart and mind on God. Look what Isaiah says here in chapter 26 and then in verse 3. You, and this the you here is talking about God. God will keep him, me and you and everyone in the church here, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, God, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, does your Bible have Yah? Yah, that's God's name, Yah, Jehovah. Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. So we need to put God, and I think most of us do this, we put God first in our lives. The sixth thing that we need to do is observe all of God's commandments, not just one or two. All of God's commandments at all times, because they really provide peace of mind. You know, if you don't steal anything from a store, you're not going to have to worry about who saw you steal this item that you stole. You see, it gives you peace of mind. Your mind is free. You don't have to sit there, I wonder if she saw me steal this. Psalm 119. Keep and observe all of God's commandments. Every one of them. Not just one. All of them. Because you know if you break one, you broke all. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Great peace, it says here. Not just regular peace, but great peace have those who love your law. And nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, says David here, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. God knows everything. He knows if you stole that thing. He knows. So it's important. Keep those 10 commandments. And number 7, this is the last one. Remember that God is the only true source of peace. We can only have peace of mind here as physical human beings. True peace of mind belongs to God. I mean, that's His realm. He owns peace. That's what the peace... Let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4 here, and then in verse 7, God is the author, the owner of peace. And it says here, Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, see, God owns peace, is possessive. The Bank of Morgan is owned by Morgan. The peace of God is owned by God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we see how important this is. You want peace of mind? Then do these steps. You know, even people who don't know God, they don't know the truth like you and I do. They realize that there is peace of mind. One such person is this Helen Steiner Rice. Maybe you've heard of her. She was born in Ohio, and she lived from 1900, and she died in 1981. She's 81 years old. And she wrote a poem here. She was also referred to, I have here in my notes, the Poet Laureate of Inspirational Verse. That means she writes about the Bible, a poet, poetess. And so she authored this following poem that I would like to read to you. Guess what the title is? How to Find Peace of Mind. This lady is not in the church. She's not like you and I at all. But this message is powerful. I have about 7 or 8 copies there on the information table if you would like to have this poem. I read it often. It helps me keep that peace of mind. And in here you're going to see that reading the Bible is part of that. Let me read this to you word for word. We listen to the newscasts that come daily to our ears. We read alarming headlines that intensify our fears. We grow more and more dissatisfied and less secure. as our days become more anxious and the future more unsure. For with violence and dissension and chaos all around, we no longer feel with certainty that we stand on solid ground. But in place of reading headlines that disturb our peace of mind, we would once more read the Bible, and on its pages we would find, this age is no different from the millennium, millions gone before, and that in every hour of crisis, God has opened up a door. To all who seek His guidance and trust in His all-wise plan, for God provides protection beyond that devised by man. And while God's almighty power is not ours to understand, we know who holds the future, and we know who holds our hand. And to have the steadfast knowledge that we never walk alone, and to rest in the assurance that our every need is known, will dispel our worries, and in trusting Him will find, right in the middle of chaos, God can give us peace of mind.